In that reading that Isabel brought to us earlier on from Psalm 113, there were two verses that went like this. Verses 7 and 8. The Lord raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and with the princes of his people. That verse inspired me and was sent to me by Pastor Francis E. Kong just a few days ago in an email from Moroto. That's what God does, doesn't it? Doesn't he? He lifts people up. He changes lives, but it doesn't just happen by magic. When it happens, it's because other people do something. It's called faith in action. It brings changes. And when a few moments ago, we were looking for a moment at the life and work and listening to the words from Pastor Francis E. Kong, way up in Moroto Baptist Church in northern Uganda. You know what? We were looking at change in action. We were looking at Francis E. Kong in action. We're looking at Moroto Baptist Church in action. We're looking at Worcester Baptist Church in action. We're looking at you and me in action. And above all, we're looking at God in action through each one of us, through our church, through Moroto Baptist Church, through those tiny little Baptist churches that are springing up around Moroto with the most unpronounceable names, through Francis and his family, and all those like him who we as a body support financially. Because that's what Worcester Baptist Church is doing in Uganda right now. And I know that some of you are familiar with what we're doing. But just very briefly, in case you're not, this church this year has contributed over £15,500 towards First of All Bible Seminary training for pastors at Ginger Baptist College. For the provision of 6 breeding heifers to add to part of an ongoing scheme. Heifers, to have a heifer which will give birth to a calf and breed and so on, provide milk and calves. If you read or know your Old Testament, you'll know that to have so many goats, to have so many camels, to have so many cattle, that was your living. It's still the way in rural Africa. And so we're part of a heifer breeding program. This year, we have planted, at least our support has planted, 15,000 trees through a Baptist scheme in Teso. 50 villages have been organized by Sam Ebu, Baptist pastor, and have received 300 tree seedlings each. And I'm not going to go now into all the various things that trees can do for you, especially in a country like Uganda, but it brings huge benefit. 15,000 trees this year alone. We have provided 200 Bibles in the local language, both in Ateso and in Karamojong. We have provided and are providing financial support for Sam Ebu. You heard Sarah pray for him and for the over 200 churches which he ministers to. He needs to get around. For a Baptist minister who doesn't get paid, he can't float on thin air. He has to drive in his old station wagon, and so we support him getting around his parish. And finally, we helped to provide, or we paid for, 3 motorbikes for 3 of those rural pastors with very big areas to cover. And in addition, this church is also the financial channel for various individuals who give towards the £750 a month that it costs to support Nkoni Primary School, where we still help out after many years. What we're doing is all about lives changing. Life's full of change, isn't it, when you think about it? Do you ever stop? I do sometimes. Do you ever stop and pause and look back on some of life's changes in your own life, in life around you? Stop for a moment and think of a place that's changed in your lifetime. For me, the Riverside in Worcester. This church. Don't get me going, I could preach another sermon on how this church has changed over the years. My old school. I went yesterday, because I'm an old pupil of the grammar school in Worcester, I went yesterday to a reunion dinner. It's for those who attended the school just after dinosaurs became extinct. And every year this dinner is held. And I went yesterday, and every year, sadly, there are one or two who aren't there. They're slowly falling off the perch. But we have a good time. But times have changed. The school has changed. And it's fantastic to look around it. We're reminded of change. Think of a thing that's changed in your lifetime. Think of something that's changed in your own life. For me, where I live, when I moved to the farm, it was a little shepherd's cottage. We used to tell how cold it was in winter by how much ice there was on the window in winter. That's on the inside of the window, not the outside. No central heating, no warm heating systems and so on. I think back and think of our first family car. Gosh, not catching the bus into Worcester. Our first family car. Flying in a passenger aircraft for the very first time. I had the privilege of flying with Uganda Airlines girls. I was telling these girls, the first time I ever flew in a commercial airliner was in 1984 when I went to Uganda. Uganda Airlines was still just going. And as we took off, I was sat near the back in one of those two seats with David Harper. As we took off, our seat just slid back into the seat. It wasn't bolted to the floor. I thought all planes were like this. I thought this was a fairground experience. It was fun. Changes. Change can do all sorts of things, can't it? Think about it. Change can be positive, a better way of doing things. Look at the ways we communicate and travel now. Look, improving people's lives. Look at medicine. Improving the way in which we preserve and take care of our world. Change can be a necessary thing. Adapt or die is the old saying. Change can be an inevitable thing, can't it? If I tried to run my farm now the way it was run 50 years ago, I'd be out of business in 5 minutes. Change, sadly, can be a damaging thing, can't it? Relationships. Deteriorating to the point of brokenness, extreme weather and destruction as we're witnessing across North Africa right now. And change can be a seemingly impossible thing, can't it? Look at parts of the world where there is hatred that's so deeply entrenched that even little ones grow up carrying the same hatred that's been carried generations before. And yet some things never change. The seasons come and go. Night follows day. The natural beauty of so much of our world. Human nature. When you read the Old Testament and then look at life today, human nature hasn't changed. Good and evil are always there. Beautiful things like the innocence of a child, they don't change. When my eldest son, Andrew, was just about 3 years old, he used to sit on a little chair that was perched on the table, I remember. And one morning, we were living in a cottage on the main road, a little farm cottage, so we had neighbours. And one morning he said to me, as we sat there eating our toast and whatever, "Daddy, where did I come from?" Now, it so happened that just a few days before, I'd heard a program on BBC Radio 4 from a child psychologist. I'd listen to it, saying, when your child raises these questions, don't hedge around, none of this birds and bees stuff and waffle and chatter. Get to the point. Tell this child. Tell your child. Let them know from an early age onwards. So Andrew, in all innocence, asked me, where did I come from? So I launched into this great diatribe of where he'd come from. And as I spoke, I could see his jaw dropping by the second. And when I'd finished what I thought was quite a masterpiece, based upon what I'd heard this child psychologist say, he just said, oh. He said, Tracy said she comes from Manchester. The innocence of a child. And again, when my first daughter, my eldest daughter, Sally, was about 5 or 6, she used to go, she started going to the convent school, and many of you will remember the convent school, now since gone, but close to where Darren lives. She used to go to the Catholic convent school there, and many of the staff were nuns, and there was a very strong Catholic influence, of course, but it was a nice school, and she enjoyed it. But she was aged about 6 or 7, and one Christmas she came home. And as we sat down to eat that evening, Sally, what have you been learning at school today? Oh, we've been learning about Christmas and the birth of Jesus and the Immaculate Contraption. Some things never change, do they? God's love and power never changes. But here's the paradox, here's the irony. God's love and power changes everything. And whenever I've been in Teso and in Karamoja in Uganda, the one thing that our brothers and sisters there always say is, please, when you go back home, say thank you to Worcester Baptist Church and to all those who give help to us and for all the hope and encouragement they bring to us. And I would say that if ever you want to experience human poverty, real material poverty, then come to Moroto in Uganda and see how life is. The pastor without the pay, the one who works tirelessly to spread God's kingdom and visits his Baptist people in the bush, people for whom you are a blessing. Because you are God's hand at work in their lives. You are the practical manifestation of his blessing. And you know, finally, I want to say that my privilege in being able to visit these brothers and sisters that we support in Uganda has taught me one thing, just how big a ministry the ministry of encouragement is. Whether it's here, whether it's there, the ministry of encouragement is one of the best things we can ever do for the Lord. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter what station we are in life, you can encourage. And that is what we as a fellowship are doing in Uganda. That's what we're about. And in doing this work, I pray that you will feel a real sense of encouragement this morning, just as Tina and I do. Encouraged by their zeal, encouraged by their amazing strength of faith in the face of often daunting challenges, and encouraged again when you read that verse that we looked at earlier on from Psalm 113. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. Yes, he does, with us being part of that. Feel encouraged this morning that you are an instrument of change for him in Uganda. Amen. Now then, I'm going to invite you to stand and